we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Friday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio broadcast. It's Friday, March the 31st. That means we are officially 3 months done with the year, 25% of the way there. And if you're kicking the can down the road before you start making changes and improvements in your life and becoming more like Jesus, stop it. Start today. Start becoming more like Jesus today. Start becoming a man or a woman of valor, a man or woman of God. Today, you will be glad that you did. We want to say thank you today to Wyrick Air Heat and Electric. Wyrick Air Heat and Electric. And I heard something the other day or read an article maybe a week or so ago about they were blaming the lack of community and how isolated people were on air conditioning and how now we've become so isolated from one another. But when they were talking about that, I was remembering a time when we were taking a tour through St. Augustine that they were crediting air conditioning with the population increase in the South, that people finally were able to come down, get away from the harsh winters up north because of air conditioning. Air conditioning down here is pretty much not a luxury item. It's pretty much a necessity. I was talking to my parents on the first day of spring in Oklahoma. It had gone from down into the 30s to within a week, it was over 90 degrees on the first day of spring. It had been in the upper 80s the day before. And so they're just experiencing tremendous swings. Need the heater, then you need the air conditioner. Whatever you need in your situation, down here we have more heat than we need the air conditioner more than we need the heat. But whatever needs you might have, give the folks at Wyrick Air Heat and Electric a call, 632-9538, 321-632-9538. They go throughout the county. They will work on any type of system, old school, new school, new technology, you name it. They can do everything that you need to get you up and running and prepared for the summer heat that will surely arrive here and decide to camp out for a few months. So want to say thank you to them. We also want to remind you, this is the last opportunity that we have to remind you that Sunday evening, 5 p.m., Stan Schumann from the group Midnight Cry is going to be at Island Community Church at 5 p.m. The address of the church is 1000 North Banana River Drive on Merritt Island. And so I encourage you to come out. We're going to bring our Sunday night group over for that. 5 o'clock, there's a time of fellowship afterwards. If you'd like more information on that, you can give the church a call, 453-4656. I also want to take this opportunity to invite you out to our church services. Sunday morning at 9:30 is Sunday school, 10:30 is worship service, 6:30 is junior Bible quiz for those under 12, youth group for those over 12, and then our adult service, except for this coming Sunday night, is for those over 18 years old. So this Sunday night and this Sunday night only, we are not going to be having our normal service schedule. We're going to be going over and supporting this ministry at Island Community Church. So if you come out, I will see you there. So we have been talking about now for quite some time about the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And what does that look like in our life? I believe that Christians are called to be distinct vessels of honor, people of excellence, that there should be marks of distinction in our character in our witness, in our life, in our emotions, in our attitude, there ought to be a tremendous amount of difference between us and those who are still bound in their sin. If there's not, the problem does not lay with them. The problem lay with us. Because if the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, there should be a tremendous distinction. And so we talked about on the last broadcast that we should be abounding in hope. The broadcast before that, pouring out the love of God in our hearts, and that and then on the last broadcast we also talked about that the Holy Spirit comes to set us apart. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 14. And it says this: the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. So what I want to share with you today is this simple truth that God sent us the Holy Spirit, and he wants the Spirit of the Lord to be upon us because he wants us to have fellowship with him. He wants for us to commune with him. So quite simply, if we would look at this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 14, if I were to ask everybody who's listening right now, how many of you would like the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to be a manifest reality in your life, your family's life, and everyone you know, would like them to experience the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? And I believe that that answer would be almost unanimously in favor of that. If I were to say, how many of you would like to experience the love of God? I believe once again that this concept would be something that would be universally desired. But if I were to ask you, how many of you would like to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit on a level that you and I can't comprehend, that a holy God wants to have fellowship with a redeemed, forgiven people? I mean, that's hard to imagine. It was hard for the people of Jesus' day to comprehend that he was a friend of sinners, that he enjoyed speaking with, ministering to, transforming broken people's lives. But he did. He really, really did. There were times when the disciples wanted to keep groups of people away from him, and he said, don't do that. God desires fellowship with you and I. And so I would like to ask you today to give some consideration to this, that the Spirit of the Lord God is come upon us not just for the function that we might be able to provide for the ministry of God. It was the purpose for which we were created, but that God pours out the Holy Spirit so that we can have fellowship with God on a daily basis. What would it look like if we got up every day and said, man, am I blessed? I get to have fellowship with the Holy Ghost today. I get to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and I'm not the one setting the agenda. He is. I believe that that would transform the way that we do. It would no longer be about having to do something. It would be about a privilege and an honor that is bestowed upon us, that we get to have communion and fellowship with God. You know, we are supposed to enjoy the fellowship of the saints. It's part of what we do. But that's no substitute. Let me put it that way. That's no substitute for fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. You know, I like the fact that God invites us into fellowship. He wants to be the very core of our existence. He wants to dwell at the midst, the crux of our existence. He wants to not only be involved in our Sundays, but our Sunday through Saturdays. He just doesn't want to spend an hour with us one day a week. He wants to spend 168 hours with us a week. What would that look like? I mean, what would ministry look like if you are hanging out with, you know, if I can use that term loosely, I don't want to minimize, but if we were doing life together with the Holy Spirit, who knows what is going on in people's hearts because he is working to bring them to a realization of their need for Jesus, and then he would give the saints the words to speak when they stand before those people, or they encounter them, or they are doing the journey with them, I believe we would experience a lot more success at our evangelism. I believe that we would experience a great deal more success when we are working from a divine advantage. You know, when Peter was asked by Jesus, the disciples were, "Who do men say that I am?" They gave a few responses, and then Jesus said, "Well, who do you say that I am?" And Peter responded, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven." He basically said, "Peter, you got the right answer, but I want you to know you didn't come by that natural means. You came through that through supernatural revelation. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." What would it look like if we were walking in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, not begrudgingly, but jubilantly, and the Holy Spirit was giving us divine revelation about what we needed to share at just the right time? I'm telling you, it would be absolutely fantastic. Do you realize what a blessed person you are, that the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, the lover of your soul, he wants to have fellowship with you. He just doesn't want to be in your presence. You know, a lot of people go to concerts and they talk about they were at this concert or they were at this sporting event. This famous person was there. That's not what he's looking for. He's not looking just for us to be silent observers. He's wanting to have fellowship with us where we do life together with him. So I think that is just a tremendous, tremendous reality and a truth that we should be very grateful for. I want to talk about another point today. It's over in the book of Ephesians, Galatians, Ephesians. It's going to be Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 13. It says, "In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purposed possession to the praise of his glory." Okay, so here it describes that we, having believed the word of truth and the gospel of our salvation, that we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And I'm very thankful for that. He is the seal. Now, a lot of times we think of a seal as something that is a level of protection for us. Now, when you open up a jar, the fact that that jar is sealed is represented by the fact that there's a vacuum that's been created in that jar. And so whenever you open the lid to the jar, the depression in the lid pops up, and all of a sudden there's a pressure release on the inside. And so whenever you go to the grocery store and you're looking for something, if the lid pops up and down, you don't want that, because the seal has been broken and there's an indication that there's something that may have been contaminated. You know, for us, it's a form of protection. A seal in biblical terms was something that was slightly different from that. It, first of all, talks about that the seal represented the fact that it was an authentic representation of the heart of the king. If there was a document, they would roll it up, they would pour wax on it, and there would be a seal, a signet ring that was impressed into that wax, and it told everybody, as long as this seal is in place, the contents on the inside represent the heart of the king accurately. And so I am thankful that the Holy Spirit's presence authenticates us. Listen, the Holy Spirit will never violate the Word of God. And so if somebody starts decreeing to you things that are contradictory to the Word of God, then you need to say, you know what? I think that there's a problem with the seal. I don't think that that's adequately representing the heart of Jesus. And so I'm thankful for that seal of authentication. So the other concept that comes to mind when I think of the concept of sealing is that when Noah built the ark, that God sealed him and his family and all of the animals inside. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to tell you this. I don't think Noah was that good of a carpenter. Someone said, amateurs built the ark and professionals built the Titanic. Which one sank? I know that we have a lot of advantages now. We have power tools and precision measuring and computerized customization, and we can build things that are watertight. And you know, you see on commercials on television things that can be applied, and all of a sudden that which is porous and water could get through, all of a sudden now there's a barrier there and it stays buoyant because of the coating that has been placed upon it. That's my concept of what God did when he sealed Noah in the boat. Is he said, you know what? I've got you in the midst of this storm. I know there's never been a storm like this on the earth. There's never going to be one that comes like it afterwards. And I am going to seal you in. I'm going to protect you. And I'm going to make sure that this journey is a successful one. I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit is along for the entire journey, not just part of the journey. And so it says here that after you've heard the gospel of salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purposed possession to the praise of his glory. The presence of the Holy Spirit also is an indication that there is an inheritance that is awaiting us that is more than this world can give. And so I want to encourage you. You and I should be striving intently not to be grieving the Holy Spirit, but to appreciate his work in us and through us. I believe that one of the great tragedies is trying in modern times, and it's happened over and over again in history, is trying to do God's work without God's Spirit, because we will not see God's results that way. Pastors, we need the Holy Spirit. Sunday school teachers, we need the Holy Spirit. Worship leaders need the Holy Spirit. I saw this article recently, and it was something that I was like, are you kidding me that is actually going on in church right now? And that is that there are some churches that have worship leaders who are not even believers. I'm not talking about members of the band. I'm not talking about people who, you know, might be going through a difficult time in their walk with God right now. I'm talking about people who are trying, whose assignment by the church, and this wasn't local, this was a national article, people whose assignment in the church is to lead people into the presence of God, a God that they deny exists, a God that they don't want to have anything to do with. That can be a challenge. That can be a problem. How can you lead me to someone that you don't even believe exists? And please understand, there are some wonderfully talented musicians. I am grieved. I am deeply moved and saddened by the great talents that God has given to so many musicians. And they started out using those gifts in the church, but the older they got, they decided to use those gifts to enrich themselves instead of to build God's kingdom. Now, I can appreciate giftedness. I can appreciate beautiful art. I can appreciate beautiful voices and great musicianship. But please understand that as from my perspective, a worship leader who is not a Christian cannot be any more successful than a pastor preaching who doesn't know God. There's literally a pastor that made headlines here a couple of years ago by coming out and proclaiming that he was going to continue pastoring a church, but he was coming out and declaring that he did not believe in God. Other churches had come out, and pastor said, I want you to know that I'm going to continue as pastor of this church, but my lifestyle is no longer going to line up with the message in the book. And so I'm just letting you know about this is who I am, and I'm going to continue to be the pastor of this church. We need the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reminds us that we have an inheritance to come. And so I hope that your expector is still working. I hope that you are having confident expectation that the goodness of God that you have seen thus far is going to be exponentially increased when we get to heaven. It is going to be fantastic. So that is something that I believe is very strong. I want to take you over to one more passage. First Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 5. By the way, First Thessalonians is an interesting book. All five chapters have in them included a reference to the fact that Jesus is coming again. I firmly believe that Jesus is coming again. And so let's look at, start reading at verse number 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father. Knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. So I've got written down here that the gospel has a fourfold manifestation. First of all, the word gospel means good news. And so you and I, we need to operate from that perspective that we are recipients of good news, we are messengers of good news, and we proclaim it as good news. But it comes in four different manifestations here, and one of those is in the power of the Holy Spirit. It is in the Holy Spirit. So let's look at these four attributes of how the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, should be presented. First of all, it should be presented in word. Thank God for the word of God. I'm thankful that God has not left us guessing as to what he expects from us, but he has delineated it, he has stated it, he has decreed it in the word of God, and it is settled forever in heaven and on earth. The Supreme Court is not going to be able to change the word of God. The United Nations will not be able to change the word of God. The word of God is settled forever in heaven and on earth. It is the authentic word of God. The Bible has been more adequately confirmed than any other ancient document, even though secular man holds it to a higher standard. That if they find something that validates the word of God, they just discard it. They just, you know what? If someone doesn't want to believe, they're not going to believe. In spite, you know, Jesus said it this way: if they don't believe what Moses has said, they're not going to believe, even though someone is raised from the dead. Guess what? Lazarus was raised from the dead. Jesus was raised from the dead. The widow's son was raised from the dead. Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead. And people still don't believe that Jesus is the way. So the gospel does need to come in word. You need to be a student of the word. We need to be a student of the word. But it also is accompanied in power. There are signs and wonders. The kingdom of God is not just word and deed, but it is a demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. It comes in the Holy Spirit, in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He works on both the messenger and the recipient of the message. And so Ed Silvoso said, always talk to God about your neighbor before you talk to your neighbor about God. Ask the Holy Spirit to work in people's hearts and in their lives. He knows exactly what the process is that will bring them to the place where they are ready to accept this tremendous gift of salvation. But not only does it come in word, not only does it come in power, not only does it come in the Holy Spirit, but with much assurance. And that assurance is described here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 5, as this: as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And Paul says, the assurance comes because the life we lived in your very midst lined up with the Word of God, lined up with the Spirit of God, and we operated in the power of God. And so you can have assurance that that same God, that same good news that transformed us, will transform you. Now, why would we want to restrict our gospel presentation in modern times to just one or two of these? Why is it that we would want to try and do it in word and in our lifestyle, but we wouldn't want to operate in supernatural power and in the ministry of the Holy Spirit? Why would we want to tie our arms behind our back while we are trying to win the lost? I believe that we would be much better served if we embraced this fourfold gospel presentation that is laid out here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 5. If the Spirit of the Lord God is upon us, let us proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Let us proclaim it in word. Let us proclaim that it is a word of power, of authority, that it's able to bring down strongholds. Let us minister in the spirit of a loving God, the Holy Spirit of God, and let's be people who God has transformed and say, you know what? You know exactly what type of person we were amongst you. That gives you the assurance that you need that God will do the same thing for you. You know what? It's going to be a great weekend. If we don't see you at Merit Assembly of God Sunday morning, we'll see you at Island Community Church Sunday evening at 5 p.m. See you next week. God bless.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merit Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merit Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Sing to be mad for my king. Nothing, Lord, is hindering the